Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen. Magnificent pass from Dalton.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on a Patriots Monday. Hunter Henry, Christian Gonzalez scheduled to join the show. We'll get to what happened. Week two. Check that. Week three. Sorry.
Week three. A lot happened.
Lost two for the Patriots. Week three of the NFL season. That comes your way 15 minutes from now. Mark it down. We will also get into week in review at 12:45. So stay tuned for that. Here on a Monday on WEEI, we'll get back into your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Andy Dalton, great yesterday. What does that have to do with the Patriots? We'll explain coming up. But a few texts here, 37937. This is good. Guys, you should put $300 on Zach Moss. This is for the Bozo touchdown parlay. We have a fifth leg of the first four touchdowns hit.
Wait a minute.
In our touchdown parlay.
Yeah, go ahead.
They say cash out, put $300 on Zach Moss, and that way you're winning something either way. You've already won, you've cashed out.
Yeah, but then if he doesn't score, now you're down to like $200.
Yeah, but if he scores.
But if you cash out, you just get $550. But if he scores, he's a minus guy.
Okay, so you don't like that?
I actually don't like that.
Okay.
I understand the premise and the idea of hedging, but I don't think that's really going to be worth your buck.
I guess that's true. You don't want to cash out and hedge. You want to just hedge.
If you put $300 on Zach Moss, you win $540.
Yeah, but that includes like your $300.
But you shouldn't cash out.
You don't really win that. You win like $270.
No, the point is, that person has it wrong. You shouldn't cash out. You let it ride, but then you hedge with a separate bet. Now we're hedging. Now we're gambling.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
you just lose everything.
No, that's not true.
That's not how it works. If you let it ride and then also bet on Moss and then he doesn't score, now you've just lost $400.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, what am I talking about? Can you bet no touchdown?
No. See, no. If the last one remaining,
yeah, you're right. That's not gambling at all.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, how do you hedge
you're
that?
Just losing money.
You can't hedge a touchdown parlay. I don't think.
No, not really. The only way to maybe do it would be if he was plus +270, like Thielen was.
Yeah.
Then you cash out. Then you sprinkle a little bit, maybe a few hams on that. A
couple of hams.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I don't think you can hedge this.
Just
actually.
Let it ride or don't. But you're getting. It's not like you get your money back. You get $550 or you get $1,200. Obviously, everybody would rather have $1,200, but are you going to really put your stock in Zach Moss and Adam Jones, who made that pick?
that really is the issue. It's me and Zach Moss.
Yes.
That's really
what
the
issue. What a combo.
Somebody texted. They said they already cashed out. They said they cashed out $500 in the account. My wife already said, give me that money.
You should have let it ride then.
Yeah, that's when you let ride.
Yeah, you let that one
that's
ride.
That's true. Good point.
All right.
All right. How do you hedge a touchdown parlay? I'm not sure you can. Actually,
it's
good point.
Pretty tough, especially when it's like a minus -125 situation.
Yeah.
You can't really do it. Otherwise, you might be out a lot of hams.
Cash out, Keith says. Yep. Cash out.
Cash out.
We'll get to your phone calls here in a moment. I just want to get to the Andy Dalton stat.
Yes,
Andy Dalton yesterday, first quarterback in the NFL, 300 yards and three touchdowns,
which is crazy. But
3 weeks in, he's the first quarterback to do
well. The numbers have been
cover
down.
Cover two ruined the NFL, according
cover
to Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper.
Yeah,
yeah, because Geno had 320 yards passing, but didn't have the three touchdowns.
Nope.
He had what, two? And so, the overall passing numbers have been down. We're talking about the passing touchdowns. Now, Jacoby Brissett has helped really anchor that down. Like, he is sinking that like a stone.
True.
But, yeah, even across the league, some of those guys we were looking at. Remember, Aaron Rodgers hadn't thrown for 200 prior to the Patriots game.
Yeah, that
turned
Mahomes,
on a dime. A lot of these guys, yeah, it's turning. I think eventually we're going to see passing touchdowns. But, yeah, Andy Dalton, first start of the year, and becomes the first quarterback to hit those numbers.
Ready for this, Boston Sports Nymph.
Okay, what do you got?
Good tweet.
I'm listening.
Andy Dalton yesterday, 309 yards.
Whew.
Patriots passing the entire season, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
306.
Come on. Dalton threw more passing yards yesterday
than the Patriots have in 3 weeks. Correct. Yes.
Not just Brissett.
Is that?
It might just be Brissett.
He says Patriots entire season, but that might be Brissett.
He might be right.
But that's a good point.
It doesn't really matter. Well, Brissett's been the starter for three games.
It would ruin the stat, though.
Andy Dalton has more passing yards in one game. Yeah, but the Panthers must be loaded, Jones. They must have a good O-line. They must be good to go. Even Adam Thielen. Like, Adam Thielen's washed.
Yeah, not great.
I'll give you Deontay Johnson. I think he's good. I wanted the Patriots in on Deontay Johnson, so I think he's good. He had a good game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, Adam Thielen, he didn't look great last year.
No. So, what's the takeaway from the Panthers? We were wondering, is Bryce Young a cautionary tale? Are you worried about it? Or does Bryce Young just suck? I think it turns out Bryce Young just sucks.
Bryce Young sucks.
That's proof of it.
Yes.
Proof is in the pudding.
Case closed.
If Bryce Young didn't suck, the Panthers have plenty on that team.
Yep.
You know, Thielen's not great, and now he's hurt. But Deontay Johnson, good player. They went out and spent on the offensive line. And I'm not telling you they're a playoff team or a good team or anything like that, but they're not a completely broken offense if you just put in...
No, they lit it up.
Washed up Andy Dalton back there. And so that to me is not an example of Carolina ruining a young quarterback and destroying a young quarterback. That's an example of he's a kid who could never play and they probably just drafted the wrong guy. That's what I think.
I agree. I think a lot of people wanted to take the Bryce Young situation and spin it as a this is
you
why you
can't
don't
play Drake May.
But I think you're focusing on the wrong guy. Andy Dalton has become sort of a laughingstock because he loses in the playoffs and he loses in primetime. But the fact is he was losing in the playoffs. He was taking the Bengals to the playoffs. But the most important nugget about Andy Dalton isn't what he did yesterday. Andy Dalton is another rookie who played right away.
Ooh, good point.
For a bad team. He came in, they won four games the year before. Andy Dalton shows up, they win nine games his rookie year. He starts every game. Throws more touchdowns than picks. He and A.J. Green, so A.J. Green was the high draft pick, and then Dalton was the high second-round draft pick. But he started immediately. They started the better guy. They weren't afraid. Do you think the Bengals' O-line was great then? I don't think it's ever been good.
God, no.
And they threw Dalton into the wolves, into the fire. He won five more games and helped turn that team around. And, you know, if you compare the Bengals to the Patriots, there is no comparison. But just from 2011 on, there were some successful seasons there where they were constantly in the playoffs. And Andy Dalton started right away. He didn't sit and wait and all that other stuff. So I think really yesterday is more Andy Dalton's better than people give him credit for, has been his whole career. Bryce Young just sucks. He is a bust. He's a little guy.
This is what it seems.
Has no elite skill and has gotten eaten up in the NFL, and they made the right call, too, by benching him. I thought they should have just kept playing him, but my guess is inside the locker room, they know he ain't the answer, meaning both coaches and players, maybe more importantly, and so they want to try to salvage the season in any way possible and at least play competitive games, and they did that.
And to me, this is an example of, well, what's Drake May going to do if he gets in there? Drake May. Well, I don't know. Maybe it does a similar thing to what Carolina did. They sat the wrong guy down who was doing nothing with a broken offense. And it's the veteran and rookie are backwards in this one, but Brissett looks like Bryce Young out there.
Yeah.
The offense doesn't move. They don't make plays. So sit down the guy who doesn't make plays and kills the team offensively and play the guy who can move the ball a little bit. And maybe you have a Carolina-esque turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. What lessons are there in Carolina and their quarterback switch? The only one in the NFL so far. Hopefully the Patriots are next. Mark is in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, real quick, before I get to my actual comment, I just want to say cash out the 550 because I got Zach Moss on my fantasy team, and he hasn't done a freaking thing for me yet.
There you go. So, yeah. Good call.
He scored week one.
Good call.
But yeah.
Anyway, call me a conspiracy theorist for the NFL, but I'm convinced now that the league does not want Patrick Mahomes to lose a game. This is 2 weeks in a row now.
So last night, was he talking about they didn't call the flag in the end zone on Kyle Pitts? Is that what he's talking about? Because then the Chiefs came out, and it was three straight penalties on the whole Falcons drive, marching down the field before they stuffed Bijan Robinson on fourth down.
Yeah.
Was penalty after penalty after penalty on the Chiefs. So I don't know. That last night I watched that. When the Pitts play happened in the end zone, I was like, oh, God, here we go again with the Chiefs. I feel like they got a couple of bang-bang calls against them defensively on that final drive. Am I missing something else he's referencing? I don't know what else he's referencing.
I'll be honest. And it's no shot at Mark because people can care about what they want to care about. I don't give a crap about like the refs and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. You hear it after every game or every like controversial call. Oh, they're in the bag for him. I don't care. Like just you're going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes. He's very good. You know, Brady got some breaks along the way, too. Like, the whole ref angle with Kansas City doesn't interest me at all.
I didn't like how they beat Cincinnati the week before. I'm not a big focus on the refs guy, but even that one, I was like, why do they win games like this all the time? It's just frustrating. I don't think the Chiefs have the league in their pocket or anything like that, or the refs are getting, like, buzzed down.
Yeah.
I don't believe in any of that, but it was just like, oh, man, this was a good game, and it stinks it was settled that way. I didn't feel that way last night. Personally, I didn't.
Mm.
Brendan is in Chicopee. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Let's say we're the worst team or one of the worst teams. We have a top five pick.
Okay.
And they continue to not play Drake. So are they not going to take a quarterback next year? Because you don't even know what Drake is. And if you don't play him, you don't know what he is. So are they going to whiff on it, like not take a quarterback next year if that's presented to him?
Well, it's part of the conundrum. If you don't know what you have in the quarterback, then how do you approach?
But no, they shouldn't.
Next year,
they shouldn't.
Shouldn't what?
Take a quarterback
well,
next year.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, like, they took one this year. It's a matter of when we'll see them. But
well, right.
They took one.
But, and I mean, in the case of Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray, the Cardinals, they did make the right call. But they saw got to
Rosen.
See Josh
we
Rosen.
Saw a lot of Rosen and realized that he wasn't it.
If you don't get to see him, that's fair.
Yeah,
but
right,
if you
right,
see
right,
him
right.
and look right,
yeah, okay.
You know, let's see. But I liked what I saw. If we're being honest, I like what I saw on Thursday night with Drake May. It was a rough go, though, for the Patriots, to say the least. And it is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI. We're joined right now by cornerback Christian Gonzalez here again on a Patriots Monday. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Christian Gonzalez, how are we doing this week?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing well. No easy way to put it. Thursday night was a rough go, a difficult showing. You guys are back in the building. Do you feel like you now have watched your way through that? You're able to put that loss behind you. How do you feel after that game on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we went out there, we got beat, but I mean, we put it behind us. We're ready to move forward for the 49ers.
You know, week to week in the league is just one great receiver after the next. And whether it's Jamar Chase, DK Metcalf, Garrett Wilson, I know there's some injuries with San Francisco, but still, like, on down the line, how easy is it to get motivated week in and week out to take on one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a corner, you want to go up against the best. You know, just being able to go up against the best is only makes you better, and I'm always up for the challenge, and it's fun to go out there. I love going up against, you know, the league's best, so it's a fun matchup.
You know, and I know you have to do whatever the defense is called, but would you prefer just to man-to-man, one-on-one, no help, just follow the guy all around the field and play that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's times like that, but then, you know, it's a team game, so no matter what, I rely upon the front and they rely on me. So either way, whatever is called.
Entering the weekend, and these numbers can adjust. I haven't checked the updated numbers this morning, but entering the weekend, according to Pro Football Focus, you were rated 114 out of 143 corners in coverage this year. Any thoughts on those numbers and the advanced analytics in general?
No, not really. Pay attention to that.
What do you think that paints?
I'll speak for you. Those numbers are garbage.
Okay, but do you think that
we're watching the games? It's not just because you're our guest. Those numbers are trash.
Do you think that paints an accurate picture of how you're playing?
I mean, people watch the games and see what happens. I mean, they don't really got to pay attention to the numbers.
Do those things ever even come up? Like, is that something inside the locker room, whether it be player to player or coaches mention that? Is that something that is on any of your guys' radar?
No, we don't. But we keep everything in house. Whatever, you know, all that matters is what's said inside the locker room. What's what we do here. So I mean, we don't really let any of the outside noise or any of that, you know, kind of speak to us.
What's the internal feedback you get on your play thus far this year? Looking at a lot of the individual numbers, when you're matched up on Chase, we know the long touchdown was on more of a broken play to DK Metcalf, matched up individually last week even on Garrett Wilson, the individual numbers are pretty good. What's the internal feedback you're getting on your level of play?
I mean, there's still plays I've left out there and I know I want to make. I mean, it's good seeing it early in the year and just scouting on myself what I need to fix and things like that.
When you guys aren't playing on a Sunday like yesterday, are you watching the rest of the league? Are you watching Red Zone like a lot of us, or are you just getting away from it all?
I mean, I think I watched a little bit of the Cowboys game, but that wasn't a good game. More so getting away from it, more just chilling, relaxing, playing the game, kind of getting away from it, like using like a little mini bye week.
Playing what? When you say playing the game, what are you playing?
College football.
More college football. You're back to that.
Yeah.
NCAA. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm always playing that.
Nice.
What are you doing? You're doing Dynasty Ultimate Team. What are you doing?
Nah, I usually just play my friends.
Got it.
Nice.
Dynasty. That's too much work. I'm not trying to go recruit and do all that.
Yeah. Paying out all that NIL money too is something you got to get doing in that game. Okay, so you're playing a little NCAA football. As you look ahead to the 49ers, I know Rich asked you a little bit about the matchup. What jumps out with San Francisco?
I mean, they're a complete team. I mean, they go out there and, you know, the physical. They got a, you know, a good offense, a good defense. And then even at the end of the day, it's an away game. So, you know, we got to bring our energy and just go out there and start fast.
And it seems like they've got a ton of injuries going on, and yet they have guys that are jumping up like Juwan Jennings, who I don't think anybody would have thought was their best receiver. And maybe he isn't, but he had three touchdowns and looks like a true number one. So it seems like regardless of who San Francisco has available to them, they got a pretty high-powered offense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the NFL. Everybody's just up on this level for a reason. So it's like that on every team. When people go down, you know, it's the next man up, and it's expected to do the same thing.
What'd you, and I know you guys have things going on the sideline at the end of the game. What'd you think, if anything, of Drake May and his performance at the end of the game on Thursday?
I mean, it was good for him to get out there. Yeah, I'm not a QB coach at any level, so I mean, I can't really grade his performance. But I mean, it was good to see him get action, get in there and take a couple hits. So, I mean, it's good for him to get out there.
Okay. Well, we'll maybe be seeing him at some point in short order this season. You guys will be back out there on Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers. He's Christian Gonzalez of the New England Patriots here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI. Christian, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Christian Gonzalez brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots. I will say, watching him, those grades are out of whack.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like kisses behind because he's a guest, but like just watching him when he's been matched up on those guys, I can only think of a few catches. There's the one in Metcalf, not the big one in Metcalf. That was a busted coverage, but there was one on the sideline where he picked up a first down. But for the most part, the numbers were really down for three of the elite receivers in the league.
Yeah. There was a touchdown to Garrett Wilson. That was a brilliant throw by Rodgers. Like, I don't think that was bad coverage. But I'm always curious how players feel about it. We asked Cora about this on the old afternoon show about advanced analytics. And if you pay attention to, like, the projected playoff odds, he's like, no, man, I don't look at that. I look at the standings. And I was curious if he would go there. But
so my guess is, and I could be wrong, but especially like the younger guys, if they happen to be number one or two on PFF,
do they care?
They might promote it. They might be like, yeah, look at me. If they're not, because it's such a crazy formula, and I honestly don't know if those guys even know exactly what coverage is called every time. Yeah. I know some of the nerds are like, of course they do, because they might. I'm like, well, I don't know. You might not. Whereas I think as dumb as something like the Madden ratings are, I think they care more about that. Like, oh, you're an 88 in Madden, you're a 95 in Madden. I
think
they care way more about that.
More about my Madden rating than my PFF rating.
Correct.
For sure. Yep. I would care more about that. More NCAA football, though. He was playing there, which is good.
Yeah, just playing with his
pals.
It's a good game.
We got to schedule a game between you and Gonzo. That's what we got to do.
I'll do that.
Get that on the books. 617-779-7937. We joined by Hunter Henry later on a Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we're back, did you miss anything in week three?
What happened?
We'll tell you next.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with
What Happened
on Jones and Keefe.
Doctor, it's time for week three. What happened in the NFL? And a different kind too, Jones, as the Patriots played on Thursday. So all it was what happened. There was no focusing in on the Patriots. Maybe you had to go to a pumpkin patch. Maybe you had to go a little apple picking. Maybe you had to do something like that because Patriots played on Thursday night. Or maybe you watched all these games, and we are going to recap all of them anyway.
I was pretty locked in, but I'd understand if you missed a lot of the league yesterday, and you need to catch up.
It's the one time the Patriots don't play on Sunday this year, right, besides the bye week.
Yeah.
You can pretty much lock them in Sunday at 1, although this Sunday will be 4 because they're out in San Francisco, but for the most part.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, but, yeah, you pretty much lock them in Sunday at 1. I don't see a lot of games getting flexed anymore.
All right, let's start with the one AFC East team that played yesterday. That would be the Miami Dolphins and the Seattle Seahawks. Well, this sounds and looks very familiar.
In motion, Kenny McIntosh out of the backfield. Tomlinson a block. He's going deep, and he's got him! DK Metcalf, pick six! What a throw!
71-yard touchdown catch for DK Metcalf as the Seahawks blow out the Dolphins 24-3. Skylar Thompson got the start for the injured Tua Tagovailoa. He also got injured, paving the way for the immortal Tim Boyle, who came in and ruined anybody's Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle fantasy days or parlays or whatever else you had, player props. That was all out the window. As the Seahawks improved to 3-0, Miami falls to 1-2.
Yeah. Metcalf, it's nice to see him do it against somebody else. Big broken play down the field.
And then just like take off past the secondary.
And every time you see him running down, you're like, N'Keal Harry. Could have been you, DK.
No.
And instead, it wasn't.
Yep. They said, you know what? We like this N'Keal Harry guy.
In fairness, I also like N'Keal Harry. Yeah, that's true.
All right, what about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Los Angeles
Chargers? Hey, what happened?
Don't sleep on the Steelers.
Second and seven.
That would be a 55-yard touchdown pass from Justin Fields to Calvin Austin. Justin Fields has started all three games because of the injured Russell Wilson, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0. A quarterback who was out there and available for anybody to have him this offseason. And Steelers, they're not, you know, scoring a million points, but they are
3-0. No, their defense is good, though.
The defense is solid. And they handed the Chargers their first loss of the season, 20-10.
So the lesson there is you could have done better, Jacoby Brissett. Right?
Yeah. You
didn't have to bring in Justin Fields specifically, but guys like this were available.
He wasn't even their starter at the beginning of the year. He was their backup, and he's 3-0.
So we'll get to more backups that were winning games, but that to me is the lesson.
All right, what about the Baltimore Ravens on the road looking for their first win of the year at the Dallas Cowboys?
What happened?
Your point, TV. Jackson will keep it left side again. Racing to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Baltimore. How's that for a start?
Wow. Impressive. That's the way to answer an 0-2 right now. The Ravens are in shotgun. Lamar's a huge part of this running game.
Oh.
Just too hard to stop. How fast is Lamar?
Fast.
Real fast.
Yeah,
I'll answer it, Tom. He's real fast.
Good analysis.
Good breakdown there by Brady, suggesting that Lamar's a big part of the running game.
And he's fast.
I didn't know the Ravens were in shotgun when Lamar Jackson was standing.
They were.
And he's fast. Let's not bury the lead here. He's fast. Brady nailed that.
Has Brady only done Cowboys games?
He's done three straight Cowboys games. Get him out of the Cowboys games. Seriously.
I mean, that's what I'll cut him some slack there. He's going to be sick and tired of seeing the Cowboys.
Well, but in fairness, he should know half the rosters. Yeah. Like, I think it probably helps him, to be honest, to just be handheld and babysat.
So I did watch
this.
Some of this game. I didn't watch all of it. And I did see people the last couple of weeks claiming that Brady's a little bit better. But I'll be honest, when I watched it, I didn't notice that.
He did another weird thing late. I was in and out on this game, too, but when the Cowboys started to make a comeback late, I was locked in on it. He did another weird thing where he, like, let it breathe, and it's like, hey, Tom,
jump in.
Tom, a little analysis,
please.
He
also had, because he heard the criticism week one when he wasn't excited about a really deep field goal.
He yells, oh, after every single play that happens.
He also had the fakest enthusiasm for the 65-yarder that the Dallas kicker hit to start the game.
Scott Hansen got to him.
Yeah, so he mentioned something, but he could tell he didn't have it. You mentioned the comeback. Dallas scored 19 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, but still lost 28-25. So both Baltimore and Dallas are now 1-2. Mike McCarthy hot seat.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy.
Definitely real hot. The hot seat. You see Jerry Jones after the game say he was asked about why the Cowboys didn't sign Derrick Henry. He's like, we couldn't afford him. Well, they're like, what do you mean you can't afford him? He's like, we can't afford him.
Derrick Henry had 151 yards rushing and two touchdowns for Baltimore.
Pretty good. Wish he was in the Bozo touchdown parlay instead of Zach Moss.
We wouldn't have to worry about hedging or cashing out or any of the other things.
True.
What about the Raiders versus the Carolina Panthers making a change at quarterback?
What happened?
It was a good decision.
Can it protect Dalton? Put some air under it to the end zone. It's caught. Picture perfect dive from Dalton to Deontay Johnson.
Not one, not two, but three passing touchdowns for Andy Dalton in his first start this season, replacing Bryce Young. Deontay Johnson, 8 catches, 122 yards, and a touchdown. Panthers beat the Raiders 36-22. Both of these teams are now 1-2.
They are. You saw Antonio Pierce was pissed after the game. They beat the Ravens the week before, which knocked a lot of people out of survivor pools, myself included.
Yeah, that's right.
Pierce came out after the game and said,
I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
I just wish we got a good line. It is.
That's a good line.
I wish we got a little more of that from Mayo. I've said that a few different times today. I just wish we got a little bit more out of that. The Raiders got embarrassed. You got embarrassed.
Maybe.
Yeah, Mayo's just like, whatever. We'll figure it out.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, I wish there was a little more of that.
What about two of the worst teams in football, the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns?
What happened?
I'll tell you, the Giants found a guy in the draft.
Jones to the end zone. Touchdown. It's Neighbors again.
Two touchdowns for Malik Nabers, the highly drafted wide receiver out of LSU. He's having a great year for a bad Giants team. But Brian Daboll is probably on the hottest hot seat, but he gets his first win of the year. Cleveland falls again. So that was the third straight game that we've done. All the teams are 1-2.
Yeah. So, and Cleveland is in the mix for worst teams in the league. They beat Jacksonville last week, who also stinks.
Yeah, they
stink. That's their only win, and they lost to the Giants. I'll tell you, the plan next year in the draft, just take a wide receiver from LSU.
Yes.
It's hard to go wrong with a wide receiver from LSU.
Brian Thomas looked good week one. He plays tonight. Malik Nabers is nasty. Justin Jefferson, Jameer Chase. Go back to Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Wide out you.
Yeah.
Although Ohio State's got some good wide outs, too.
They do. You know what? I'll allow LSU or Ohio State. Take a receiver from one of those two.
All right. The Green Bay Packers taking on another team that is in the mix for worst team in the league, the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis happen?
Start the first couple of weeks for Levis as he goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for six.
He blows. Will Levis is the worst. The Titans are 0-3. The Packers playing another game without Jordan Love, although he was limited in practice. He was questionable, but it was another Malik Willis game, and it didn't matter. They beat Tennessee 30-14.
Malik Willis revenge game, by the way.
That's true.
As of formerly of Tennessee.
A few months ago, he was on Tennessee.
They traded him to Green Bay.
That's right.
That's a sign of a good operation. Yep. Like we've talked about Kevin O'Connell. We'll get to the Vikings coming up. That's a sign of a good operation where you lose your quarterback, you plug in a guy no one wanted.
No.
And you tailor make your offense to Malik Willis, who's probably not good, no. But they've won two games.
They're good. Yeah, Matt LaFleur knows what he's doing.
Seems that way, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, two more teams that stink. The Indianapolis Colts and the Chicago Bears.
Hey, what happened?
Here's Taylor. Next turn is back to Taylor. Oh, yeah! Touchdown! And some sweet moves by JT.
The sweetest of moves.
Sweet moves.
Jonathan Taylor is the JT is referring to. 23 carries, 110 yards, two touchdowns as the Colts defeat the Bears 21-16. Caleb Williams had a couple of bad picks. Well, one bad pick. He had two picks total.
Anthony Richardson had a brutal pick.
Anthony Richardson did not look very good.
It was like a Mac-esque pick is what he had. Yeah.
But Williams threw for 363 yards, 112 of it to fellow rookie Rome Odunze, who had a touchdown on six catches. Both of these, this is insane. Both of these teams are now 1-2. All the 1-2 teams played yesterday?
Somehow the math shouldn't work out that every team in the NFL is 1-2.
Every team has a losing record.
But it's working out that way. I will say.
These teams kind of stink.
Oh, they do.
I thought the Bears would be better. So far they are not.
I thought both these teams would be better. And I thought Richardson specifically would be better. Right. I was a Richardson believer. I tailed Scheim on his Richardson MVP bet. That is looking like some wasted money right now.
Yep, I would agree. All right, what about the Minnesota Vikings at home against the Houston Texans?
En movimiento, Powell. Finta Darnold. No tiene a quien. Tiene que salir de la bolsa. Corre contra su perfil. Y finalmente aparece en la zona de anotación Justin Jefferson. Touchdown de los vikingos. 6-0 sobre Houston.
There you have it. Justin Jefferson with a touchdown as the Minnesota Vikings blow out the Texans.
Yeah, it didn't finish 6-0. It was a lot more, yeah.
No. It upped from there. I think it was 34-7.
Si.
34-7 is your final score. The Minnesota Vikings, though, a perfect 3-0. Sam Darnold threw 4 touchdown passes. C.J. Stroud threw 2 picks. On the other side, so Houston, that's their first loss of the year. They're 2-1. But like I said, undefeated. Kevin O'Connell, speaking of good coaches, good offensive coaches, taking Sam Darnold, one of the worst quarterbacks, one of the worst viewed quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He has had some hot starts before, so there's sort of a
not this hot,
keep an eye on that.
But no, Darnold's going for an MRI, so we'll see if he's even healthy. He hobbled off the field at one point yesterday. For everybody who says the Jets ruin quarterbacks, I don't know. He doesn't look ruined to me.
Well, if you're good,
he doesn't look like a ruined
player. Yeah. Like Mark Sanchez just sucked. Now, he didn't have a great offense with him, but he sucked and he was out of the league. Sam Darnold was bad because the Jets were bad, but then he's still a player.
Yeah. And look, maybe.
So, were they not supposed to play him at all?
Darnold's playing over his head, but just the idea you can ruin a quarterback, I disagree with.
All right. What about the Philadelphia Eagles and the New Orleans Saints?
Hey, what happened?
Well, Saquon Barkley felt like he probably lost the game for him last Monday against Atlanta. So, it was a bit of a makeup opportunity for Saquon.
They do. It's Barkley. Surge from the offensive line and a touchdown from Barkley. Yeah, smart play call.
147 yards rushing and two touchdowns for Saquon. In a low-scoring game, all 15 of the Eagles' points came in the fourth quarter. They beat New Orleans 15-12, so that Clint Kubiak offense, for the first time this year, got shut down. Both Philly and New Orleans are 2-1.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was very complimentary of Clint Kubiak the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Patriots interviewed him.
What happened, Clint?
I watched that offense yesterday. It was pretty much a handoff to Kamara, middle of the line stuff. Every play, that was pretty much the whole offense.
There wasn't much doing.
Where was this great offense I heard about?
No, it wasn't happening. All right, the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams in a matchup of the Rambulance tier.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, both teams are very, very injured, and the LA Rams stormed a massive comeback in the fourth quarter. They were left for dead, Jones. They came all the way back, and the final seconds of the game. Kind of jump the gun there.
Yeah,
play guy. Rams win. Well, after the kickoff, it's 2 seconds. Hold on a second. We got to finish. They didn't really time it out perfectly.
He's really rooting against the Ramondre Stevenson fumble at the end of the game. Like, don't do that like the Patriots did.
Both teams extremely banged up in this one. Niners get out to a quick 14-0 lead in the first quarter. And the Rams outscored the Niners by 10 in the fourth to get the three-point win. Juwan Jennings, though, in a losing effort, 11 catches, 175 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, hopefully you snagged him off the waiver wire.
Holy mackerel.
Nice performance. Honestly, Brandon Ayuk, you watch it and you go, the Patriots are ready to offer this guy a crap ton of money. He's been kind of a waste.
He does not look good. Looks like a guy who missed all camp and wasn't ready to go.
He does.
Both of those teams also somehow, someway, are 1-2. San Francisco and
the whole
the
league
Rams.
Is 1-2.
Everybody's 1-2.
Including the Patriots.
All right, what about the Lions and the Cardinals?
What happened?
All right.
It's gonna hit you. Resuscitate all the fans here in Arizona. Man, that's just straight-up shenanigans right there. I just thought of that dolphin hook and ladder. I don't know what you'd call that.
It's a hook and ladder, right?
It's kind of like a hook and ladder because it was a hook and ladder.
That's what I would call it, yeah.
They ran a hook and ladder.
Yeah.
And perfectly executed. So the Lions, after not looking great last week, 20 points. They scored all their points in the first half, but they beat the Cardinals, who look great in week two. 20-13, your final. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a touchdown, part of our Bozo parlay. David Montgomery had over 100 yards rushing and a touchdown
as well.
I'll
still say something with that offense doesn't look right. Like, it just doesn't look
Detroit,
like it.
Detroit, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they won, but something with their offense still doesn't look quite right.
And then finally, Sunday Night Football, you have the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons.
What happened?
Old buddy Juju Smith-Schuster involved in the action.
Mahomes retreats. City. Great call, Chris. Juju Smith-Schuster back with his team. Has a great knowledge of all those routes. Gets it in the end zone of the Chiefs. Lead by 8.
All those routes he's got a knowledge of. But the Chiefs are now 3-0. Atlanta falls to 1-2 on a day in which they inducted Arthur Blank into the Ring of Honor or whatever. You see that?
Yeah, it's a neat trick.
I don't know whose decision that was, but good for him.
Put yourself in your own Ring of Honor.
Yeah, great. It's
pretty impressive. Oh, there you go. Juju Smith-Schuster in the end zone.
Yep.
Something we didn't see enough of last year. It's Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Monday. Here on WEEI, we are joined now by Hunter Henry of the New England Patriots. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Doing good.
What'd you get to do with the time off this weekend? Anything good?
Yeah, I actually ran out. I got out of town with my family, with the kids, my wife. We ran up to Vermont, actually.
Oh, wow.
Day and a half.
Quick one. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from Vermont, so not to jump all over you.
Jones,
but where
got real I got first time too excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, where'd you go? You don't have to give up any big secrets, but where'd you go?
We went to Stowe.
Oh, lovely.
So,
lovely.
My wife's been wanting to do that for 4 years, ever since we moved here. So she finally capitalized on the opportunity.
How was the foliage?
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, it was kind of the beginning, but it was nice. It was pretty up there, so it was a good weekend.
Keith and I have talked about the leaf peeping. You kind of go, oh, that's a red one. There's a yellow one.
Not much there.
It's orange. Kind of gets old quick.
Get away for a little bit, though.
Yeah, I feel you.
How is it going back to work today? You got to lick the wounds after Thursday night. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, obviously. It's not the way we wanted to play at all. You know, it was a frustrating game and just didn't match, you know, come out and match the energy that we needed to have come Thursday night. I mean, it was just all around a tough game in every aspect. And, you know, it's something, you know, as somebody that's played a lot, I mean, every once in a while you have to have them, you just got to turn the page, you got to learn from it, you got to bring some energy, you got to be ready to go the next week because, you know, they'll be ready to come this weekend.
Yeah, is that something that, especially now as you've been in the league longer, like, do you look to some of the young guys like, hey, it's one game, like, obviously you need to learn from it, but you don't want to beat yourself up over it. You don't want to watch it a million times. Like, I feel like that could almost be a negative to sort of dwell on a game like that too much.
Yeah, you can't dwell on it too much, but there's a lot to learn from it too. You know, we did meet the challenge. We did step up in a lot of ways too, so you got to learn from it too. But yeah, you can't dwell too much on it because, you know, we got another team coming this weekend and you got to be ready to go.
Just quickly before moving on from that one, I mean, the Jets were all over you, all over Brissett, really, in that game. I heard him say after the game something to the effect of it was like the Jets had all the answers defensively. Why were they, I guess, so locked in and so locked in on what you guys were doing? And how do you correct that specifically going forward against a team like San Francisco?
Yeah, there was just obviously they had some really timely sacks, timely pressures. Were able to kind of get us off balance. That, you know, there was some drives when you really watch it. We were able to kind of, you know, after the first two drives, we were able to kind of get things going. We were just a play or two away from, you know, having a drive, being able to sustain one. We got to be better on third down. You know, you got to give credit to them, though. I mean, they came out with a lot of their energy. They were ready to go. It was their home opener. You know, big-time game. They played really, really well. And you got to give credit to them, too. I mean, they played a really, really good game. They got a lot of great players, like we talked about last week. I mean, so they played a great game. We got to learn from it and move on.
What did you think of Drake May's debut? And, you know, also just from being in the huddle with him, what was his kind of, you know, composure level and things like that?
Yeah, he was great. Obviously, a tough spot to go in at the end, but it was a good experience for him. And felt like he handled it well.
When you look at that operation at the tail end of the game, I know it sounds like Jacoby Brissett will get the start. Is that the kind of guy you feel like, you know, you'd have confidence in if and when he's ready to start a game?
And Jacoby?
No, I'm sorry, in Drake. The way he played on that final drive, does that give you confidence for whenever he'd be under center?
I mean, yeah, I mean, Drake's a very talented player, so obviously he didn't go to Iowa for no reason. So he's a great player, and he's learning a lot. And I think that was a very, you know, a lot of valuable experience just being able to get out there and get in the mix.
What can you tell us, if anything, about San Francisco? Is that something you guys have even started? Is it still just kind of looking back on the Jets, or are you on to that Niners defense?
Yeah, we've kind of a little bit, but not a ton. You know, you don't want to do too much, but just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. But I mean, obviously everybody knows they're a really good football team, been a really good football team for years. You know, went to the Super Bowl last year, got a ton of great football players, and a lot of guys have played together for a while too. And they've played in a lot of big games and played a lot together. I mean, they're disruptive. It's going to be a tough challenge, especially going out there and playing on the West Coast. So we're gonna have to be ready to go.
So your Razorbacks got a good win over Auburn on Saturday, and now you have this murderer's row of the rest of the schedule, including A&M and Tennessee the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we're not scared of anybody, man. Come on now. this part of the SEC, man. You know what I mean? This is what it is, man. This is what you sign up for every year when you play in the SEC. So came back down from it, but you got to start with this week. I think we play A&M this weekend.
Yeah, A&M and then Tennessee. So, will you have a bet with Mayo? Because was it Brissett had one with Tennessee and NC State? And so I know Tennessee.
We'll see how this weekend goes. We'll see how this weekend goes first, and then let's not get ahead of ourselves, right, man. You know what I mean? let's start with a 1-0 mentality. All right. We're 1-0 in the SEC right now, so we're doing all right. We're doing all right. We're moving in the right direction. Right.
I'd be looking to duck Mayo on that Tennessee team too.
They
look good. I'm curious. The tight end U is a thing throughout the NFL. I don't know if Kittle's going to play this week, but is that a guy you specifically seek out when you match up?
Of course, I all the tight ends on every team I try to chat with and just keep up with, man. It's a cool event that they've been able to do. I actually haven't been able to make it since the inaugural a couple years ago. But yeah, Kittle's a great dude. I mean, he's been great to be able to, you know, put all that stuff together with National Tight End Day and bringing a lot of just awareness to a lot of good tight ends across the league. I mean, there's so many. So it's fun to keep up with guys and just watch them from afar. And then also when you're competing against, you know, each other in a way on Sundays.
Okay. He's Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end, joins us on Patriots Monday here on WEEI. Hunter, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Hunter.
Hunter Henry brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hasn't been there since the inaugural tight end U.
Tight end U?
I guess I didn't realize that.
You know, it's funny. It's early in the season, but it does seem like, and I know this is very like a fantasy football thing.
They're down.
No, across the board.
It's a down position, yeah.
And I think part of that is Kittle's banged up and Travis Kelce's washed. So like that combination
might be washed.
Is kind of tough because Henry had one of the best weeks in week two when he kind of popped off. I know Dallas Goedert had a ton of yards yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he had a big game.
He had a great game, but like the touchdowns are down. I was looking this up. I don't think any tight end has two touchdowns yet this year. You know, like not every.
No one's gotten in the end zone more than once.
Yeah.
I mean, Likely almost did week one against the Chiefs.
Like Kittle,
yeah.
Pitts, Likely, Cole Kmet. So there's a few guys that have scored once. But yeah, overall, it seemed like we were entering like a boom where like every team had like a big time pass catching tight end. And now it's kind of dipped a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So that's Sunday, Patriots and Niners out on the West Coast. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We're a touch behind. So let's catch up on things and get back to the Patriots watching the league. How bad is it? How long of a season is it going to be? And are the Patriots in the mix for the worst team in the NFL? We'll get to it next.
I couldn't sleep, and so I watched all the film, all three phases, through the wee hours of the morning. And after watching the film, I still feel that Jacoby gives us the best chance to win football games. And we're 100% behind that decision.
I was Jerod Mayo this morning on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Jerod Mayo every Monday on Patriots Mondays here on WEEI. We just spoke to Hunter Henry and earlier in the show, Christian Gonzalez. You can seek those out as well on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You think they're 100% behind Jacoby Brissett? We're behind him.
I was going to say, I mean, you go top up and down the league. Those teams that are in the bottom couple of tiers, and we'll update them tomorrow on Tier Tuesday, but that don't have like a firm quarterback, how could you possibly be? All like the 1-2 or 0-3 teams, think they love their quarterback? Or right, like even the Browns
are fully behind Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And this is also a unique situation too. This isn't like, you know, here's your left tackle and there's another guy who's like competing for him. You're like, hey, maybe we switch to left tackle. No, it's the number 3 overall pick.
Right.
It was the number 1 asset you had in the offseason. Your team's not very good and he's the one guy that's not playing. So the two rookie offensive linemen that you drafted have both started games. You know, the two rookie, well, one of the rookie wide receivers has already played. The other one hasn't yet. But the guy that you picked ahead of all those guys hasn't played. And I understand the differences, but I'm just saying, like, at this point in the year, I don't think you can be 100% behind a guy. If you're like, hey, we need something. We need some sort of spark. Like, if you're looking around and you see what happened in Carolina, and I know we were talking about that earlier, but if you see that, you're like, so what else did they change? Did they change everything? Oh, no, just the quarterback, and now they look like a functional team? Like, they lit up the scoreboard with Andy Dalton. They couldn't move the ball with Bryce Young, and now they look like a completely different team. I think you'd have to say, and it doesn't mean that any of the guys in the locker room don't have respect for Jacoby Brissett or anything like that, but I'm sure they'd like to maybe see what it would look like with Drake May.
Yeah, and I think people have it backwards specifically with Bryce Young and Andy Dalton. It's like, you could ruin Bryce Young. That's why you don't put Drake May out there. No. The Panthers made a switch at quarterback, and for a week,
sparked him.
It was a shot in the arm for the team. So could you do the same thing with Drake May? We'll get more into that later on here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. I still, Keefe, after watching a good chunk of the league yesterday, I didn't go apple picking.
No.
I didn't go leaf peeping.
Look at you.
Like Hunter Henry, I did jump all over him with Stone. I heard Vermont.
Stone,
I got very
Vermont.
Excited.
I was like, oh my God.
Well, number one, he ignored New Hampshire, which I appreciated.
Yeah, he just kept driving.
He just kept driving.
Yeah, he got New Hampshire's a lot closer.
He's like, no more old man in the mountain. See ya.
Yeah, what else is
went
there?
Right to Stowe.
Yeah.
But number two, I watched a lot of the league yesterday, and I'm guessing a lot of you out there did as well. And you can jump in if you did. 617-779-7937. Not to do too much of a wild pendulum swing from going into Thursday
Night
Football.
9-1, I think you had them.
I thought they were going to win. I was picking out wins on the schedule. I was like, Niners are up in the air. They're beating the Dolphins without Skylar Thompson. Blah, 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 blah. Now after the Jets, which I referred to as a foundation-shattering loss.
Yeah.
Now I wonder if they're the worst team in the league. Like, Carolina looked better yesterday. The Giants got a win.
Yeah.
Bo Pix looked pretty good.
Bo Pix looked nice. Don't call him that. He didn't throw any.
Against an undefeated Tampa team.
Now, there is Tennessee. There is Jacksonville tonight. Like, they have company. Like, the league's bad. Like, there's a lot of bad teams.
They do, but they're closer to the bottom than I thought. 100%. They're closer to the bottom than I thought.
They for sure could be the worst team. Going into the league, they were 30, or going into the season, I should say, they were 31st on most power rankings.
Yeah.
They were in the number one pick watch. Who's it going to be? And I think week three's game against the Jets kind of puts them back there. But like as we were joking about it during what happened, most of the league is 1-2 somehow. The math doesn't make
doesn't
any sense.
It doesn't add up, but yeah, you're
it
right.
It shouldn't be the case. But there are a ton of teams that are bad. There are three right now winless teams. Now, Cincinnati and Jacksonville play tonight, right? So there's 1-0-3. There's 2-0-2s. But I think everybody's picking Jacksonville to lose. Right,
against Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they're going to be 0-3.
Bengals should win, but yeah.
Bengals should win, and you never know. But the Patriots play Jacksonville and Tennessee later this year. So I know we're doing the show today, but those are going to be to determine who the worst teams are in the league.
Win.
So you got to go Tennessee? I mean, they might make a quarterback change by then. They might be like, listen, if Will Levis just keeps throwing the ball to the other team, at some point we owe it to the rest of our squad to try somebody else.
Our buddy John in the car on the Twitch chat, number one draft pick is definitely in play.
100% it's
okay,
in play.
But I didn't think that going into the Jets game last week. I personally did not feel that way.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to the playoffs, but I didn't think they were that bad.
Well, so to me,
now I wonder if they're, after watching the league yesterday, I do wonder if they're that bad.
It's possible. I mean, I thought going into the year when we did the always timeless classic exercise of win-loss.
Yeah.
I had them losing to Cincinnati, but I had them beating Seattle. So so they flipped those two. But you're like, all right, they're still off to a 1-1 start. And then that Jets game, we all acknowledged, was such a swing game because New York didn't look great going into that week, right? You're like, oh, maybe they're not there. Maybe they're a bit of a mess. And they had a great game. Patriots had a horrible game.
Yeah,
and now you're like, oh, no. Like, all of our fears have sort of come true with this team. They're apparently sticking with Jacoby Brissett for another week. So now we have to watch this offense for another week look like that. And now all of a sudden, a quarter of the season is down. And they're probably going to be 1-3 and like, all right, how's that going to turn around?
So how bad is it for the Patriots? How long is this year going to be? Is the number one pick in play, as the Twitch chat suggests? You can jump in here on the phones. We also got to get to Elliot Wolf and his role in all of it because it's pretty bad. Not a lot of fans of the Wolfpack these days.
No, I don't think
there are any. Based on the way he's running things. No.
I don't think there are any. This O-line is on him.
Yeah, it's on him. And you can't say out one end of your mouth, the team's not ready for Drake May. And then out the other, be the one who built the roster. You can't do that. Right. So that's a neat trick he's attempting to pull off. So you can weigh in on all of that. Again, 617-779-7937. How bad is it going to get for the Patriots? And are they closer to what we saw the first 2 weeks of the year? Win over Cincinnati, which none of us saw coming. A competitive game, an overtime loss against the 3-0 Seahawks. Or are they closer to what we saw on Thursday night? My fear now is they're closer to what we saw on Thursday night. You can jump in line. You can also text the show at 37937. A reminder, all of our NFL talk on WEEI is brought to you by T-Mobile. You can head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. Let's get into the Patriots this season. How bad is it going to be? And the Drake May timeline. How does it all roll into the Patriots? Could we see him soon? Meaning Miami, Houston? We don't think it's going to be against San Francisco. We'll get to it next.